Mayapur Dhammaki Jan, Taganapuri Dhammaki Jan, Gangamanjuni Deviki Jan, Bhakti Deviki Jan, Nisimaharani Ki Jan, Samaveta Bhakti Ranjaki Jan, Gaur Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and all glories to Sri Guru. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, the Hamsakriya prayers, which are being offered by Daksha, text 27 through 28. And first we're going to read from Rai Sari's Transcendental Diary. Sarva Bhavana finally told him that although he personally didn't have any difficulty, he had been approached by others who had worked more closely with Akshay Nanda Maharaj, and thus had been speaking on their behalf. So all Indians are here, Prabhupada noted. Now say, what is the difficulty? Well, some things like changing of our duties, changing of our services, Sarva Bhavana told him. That struck a chord with Prabhupada. So why you change constantly? Well, the managers are wanting change, Prabhupada, and the devotees were not satisfied with that change, and they wanted to remain in their particular service. Second verse up here. It's 27:28. So I guess I'll just read the first one. Manishino Manishinontar Vedi Sannivesitam Swashakti Bir Navabhista Trividribi Vanim Yata Dharani Panchadasyam Manishaya Niskarshan Manishaya Nishkarsanti Gudyam Sa Vai Mamashesha Vishesha Maya Nisheda Nirvana Sukhanubhuti Sa Sarva Nama Sa Cha Vishva Rupa Prasiditam Aniruptatma Shakti Savai Mama Shesha Vishesha Maya Niseda Nirvana Sukhanubhuti Sa Sarva Nama Sacha Vishvarupa Prasiditam Atma Shakti.
Thank you.
great learned brahmanas performing ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices. Antaha Riddhi, within the core of the heart. Sanniveshitam, being situated. Swashakti Bhi, with his own spiritual potencies. Navabhi, also with the 9 different material potencies. The material nature, the total material energy, the ego, the mind, and the 5 objects of the senses. Anybody remember any of those? 5 objects of the senses, okay. Cha. And the 5 gross material elements and the 10 acting and knowledge gathering senses. Trivridbhi. By the 3 material modes of nature. Vanim, fire. Yata, just like. Dharani, within wood. Panchadasyam, produced by chanting the 15 hymns known as, the Samideni mantras. Manishaya, by purified intelligence. Niskarshanti, extract. Gudham, although not manifesting. Saha, that supreme personality of Godhead. Vai, indeed. Mama, toward me. Ashesha, all. Vishesha, varieties. Maya, of the illusory energy. Niseda, by the process of negation. Nirvana, of liberation. Sukha anubhutihi, who is realized by transcendental bliss. Saha, that supreme personality of Godhead. Sarvanama, who is the source of all names. Saha, that supreme personality of Godhead. Cha, also. Vishwarupaha, the gigantic form of the universe. Vasidatam, may he be merciful. Anirupta, inconceivable. Atmashaktihi, the reservoir of all spiritual potencies. This is a long translation. So I'm going to ask you what the analogy is here. Who's talking again? Who's talking? Daksha, too? To Lord Vishnu, he's praying to Lord Vishnu. What does he want? That would be nice if he wanted pure devotional service. No, he doesn't want pure devotional service. What does he want? A little bit. What was Daksha's job? Yes, he's supposed to fill the universe with good children. So, he had all different living entities he created through both his semen and through his mind, through his daughters. None of his sons had children, which we'll get to later. Why that happened. And he created demigods, demons, human beings, birds, beasts, aquatics, and so on. But then he saw that he was not properly generating all kinds of living entities. So he just wasn't doing his service quite right. You ever have that? You have a service that you're doing, and you're doing it, and it's like, it's not quite right? You're not satisfied with it? Does that happen? You're given a service to do, and you're working really hard, and you're producing something, and you look at what you're producing, and you say, it's not quite what I want. Okay? So then he went to a mountain, you know, the Vidya mountain range, and did very difficult austerities. There was a holy place there. He did ritualistic ceremonies. He did great austerities to please Krishna, and he offered prayers to the Lord. So he was praying to the Lord, I want to be able to do my service properly. I want to be able to do my job properly. about his motive was to enjoy the world with Krishna's blessing. So we were comparing last time, right, Daksha and the Prachetas, how they were both supposed to generate progeny, and the Prachetas were pure devotees, and Daksha was not. Daksha was more interested in karma kanda. Right, but this is the prayer that he's saying, and he's making an analogy here. We all know what an analogy is. Analogies are similes and metaphors. You're comparing one thing to another thing. So he's making a comparison, and he's speaking here about impediments. I'm going to ask you after what the comparison is. This is a little difficult. Just as great learned brahmanas who are expert in performing ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices can extract the fire dormant within wooden fuel by chanting the 15 Samadhani mantras, thus proving the efficacy of the Vedic mantras. Do our non-English speakers know what efficacy means? How efficient something is, how well it works. By the way, how many of you here have English as your second language? If I talk too fast, just tell me that I should. I talk at New York speed most of the time, so just remind me. So, those who are actually advanced in consciousness, in other words, those who are Krishna conscious, can find the Supersoul who, by his own spiritual potency, is situated within the heart. The heart is covered by the three modes of material nature and the nine material elements. See if we can all count up to that here. Material nature, the total material energy, the ego, the mind, and the five objects of sense gratification. Those are all covering the heart. And also, as if those nine weren't enough, by the five material elements and the 10 senses. These 27 elements constitute the external energy of the Lord. Great yogis meditate upon the Lord, who is situated as the Supersoul Paramatma within the core of the heart. May that Supersoul be pleased with me. Where here is the word for be pleased with me? Yes, Prasivata. The Supersoul is realized when one is eager for liberation from the unlimited varieties of material life. What is the qualification? One has to be? One actually attains such liberation when he engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord and realizes the Lord because of his attitude of service. The Lord may be addressed by various spiritual names. There's a Sanskrit for that. Sarvanam. Which are inconceivable to the material senses, which is Anirupta. When will that Supreme Personality of Godhead be pleased with me? Okay, anybody like to try summarizing that verse? Some of it. Okay, so that's the analogy. Just like the brahmanas by chanting the 15 Samadhani mantras can get fire from wood. You ever seen that in some of those Indian movies? Of like the Ramayana and Mahabharata? You ever seen that in any of those? Where the guy just goes and the fire comes out? Remember that with the Ramayana with Indrajit, he does that in the cave. He didn't even chant the mantras, he just like did some mudra. Alright, so that's the first analogy. And then fire is covered by wood. If we look at wood, okay, this is made out of wood. Anybody see any fire here? Can you see the fire? No, okay, this is all wood. Does anybody see like fire? Okay. So the analogy is that the yogis can find the Supersoul in the heart, just like the brahmanas can extract the fire from wood. So then, what's the situation of the heart? How is that described? It's covered. It's covered. covered by, can anybody name some of the things, one of the things it's covered by? Ego. What else? The ten senses. That's the five knowledge acquiring senses and the five working senses. Sense objects. The mind. That would probably be in there. Material energy. What else? Material nature. Three modes of material nature. Yes, the mind is also listed here, right? And also the five material elements. So therefore, just like you look at wood and you don't see fire, so you look at the heart, the body, the mind, you don't see the supersoul. Okay? So how do you extract the supersoul from the heart? The Brahmins did it with the 15 Samadhani mantras. So how does one extract the supersoul from within the heart? One has to be eager. And do what? Devotional service. And we wait for the Lord's blessing, his pleasure. Okay. This is also a long purport. Very long. I am going to ask you at the end, what verses were cited in this purport? The purport is much more important than anything that Urmila Devi Dasi is going to say. So please listen carefully. We associate directly with Srila Prabhupada when we're listening to his purports. And Prabhupada's purport is going to be mostly focusing on the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Also, there's a sentence in this purport that I really like. It's one of Urmila's favorite sentences in Srila Prabhupada's books. And I'm going to ask if any of you can guess what that is when I finish the purport. Or maybe you'll find a favorite sentence of your own. And I'm also going to ask you what verses it is. Okay? You ready? Okay. Is that okay that I like... if it's not okay, I can stop that and just read it in this commentary. I can just do that. In his commentary to this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses the word durvigneyam. So, vigneyam means something to be understood, and dur means very difficult, which means very difficult to realize. You feel like that sometimes about Krishna consciousness? Right? That was George Harrison saying that? Takes so long? The pure stage of existence is described in Bhagavad Gita 7:28, wherein Krishna says, Tesham Twanan Katam Papam Jnananam Punyakarmanam Tvedanda Mohanirmukta Bhajante Mam Dridha Vrataha. Anybody know what that verse means? General. You can give him a hand. Good. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are free from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. Is there a verse in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says that indicates something a little opposite to that? He said, even if you are known to be the greatest of all sinners, you can cross over the ocean of material existence one way. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 9:14, does anybody know the Sanskrit to 9:14 by heart? It's right after the verse talking about Radharani. Satyatam, yeah? Maybe we say it together, those of us who know. Satyatam kirtayantomam yatantas chadrita vritaha namastantas chumam bhakya nitya yukta upasate. And the English for that is? Anybody know? Always chanting. Very good. Give him another hand. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. What double word was in both of those verses? It relates to what Prabhupada quoted from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur right in the beginning. He said that realizing Krishna is very difficult. So if something's difficult, you have to do something, you have to work. Yes, Jodhavrata. Dridhavata. Avrata is a vowel. So both of those verses have the word Dridhavata in them. Dridhavata. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead after transcending all material impediments. Does Prabhupada say getting rid of all material impediments? Does he say smashing all material impediments? What does he say? What was the word he used? Therefore, Lord Krishna also says in the Gita 7.3. Anybody know 7.3? God, anybody know 7.3? Sanskrit? Yes, manushyanam, those of us who know, we can say that. Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchit yadati sadaya yadatam api sidhanam kashchit mam yadatam. And what does that mean? And many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who achieve perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So far in this purport, how do we feel? How are we feeling right now?
A long way to go, right?
We have to have done pious activities in previous lives. We have to have done pious activities in this life. It's Dridhavrataha. And out of many thousands, one is going to be perfect, and of all those who are perfect, one's going to be Krishna conscious. Okay. Now we're going to have some positive. To understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must undergo, well, not quite yet, severe penances and austerities. Prabhupada says one must. One must. Often Prabhupada says that any religious system that says that you can achieve perfection without austerity is cheating. But, sometimes we like the word but, the modern psychologists say, don't use but, just use and. But sometimes we like the word but. After one must undergo severe penances and austerities, after that phrase, we like the word but, don't we? Yeah. But, however, since the path of devotional service is perfect, by following this process, one can very easily come to the spiritual platform and understand the Lord. Isn't that nice? And you go. This too is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18.55, wherein Krishna says, anyone know 18.55? Bhakti mam avijananti yavanyas chasmi tat fatahat tomam tat fatoganatva vishate tadamantaram. Translation? Then me as I am, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he is only by devotional service, and when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Thus, although the subject matter is durvignayam, extremely difficult to understand, it becomes easy if one follows the prescribed method. Coming in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is possible through pure devotional service, which begins with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnuho. In this regard, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur quotes a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8.5, Pravistha Karna Randera Swanam Bhava Saroruham. The process of hearing and chanting enters the core of the heart, and in this way, one becomes a pure devotee. By continuing this process, one comes to the stage of transcendental love, and then he appreciates the transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What did Srila Prabhupada just describe in those three sentences? The process of Krishna consciousness. He said, first you hear and chant, and particularly hear what? Well, could be, but that's not what he's saying. Particularly Bhagavatam. And if you continue this process, you come to the stage of? What did he say? The stage of what? By continuing this process, okay, read it again. The process of hearing and chanting enters the core of the heart, and in this way one becomes a pure devotee. By continuing this process, one comes to the stage of transcendental love, and then he appreciates the transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality, Godhead. So, first thing is hearing and chanting, which you have to keep continuing, and then you get to the stage of love, transcendental love, and then you can appreciate. What stage in Anushruta to Prema is you start appreciating the transcendental name form qualities? What's that called in a sense? Ruchi. Which Prabhupada here is saying is stage of transcendental love. Which implies that before you're on the stage of transcendental love, your appreciation for the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord is not very deep. That's the implication. In other words, a pure devotee by devotional service is able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead despite many material impediments. Does he say again that you smash all your material impediments? Now, what is the word he used? Despite. Which are all, now this is a very important point here, which are all various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all the material impediments we have, who here has at least one material impediment that is blocking their advancement in devotional service? Who has at least two? We could go on. Yes. And all of our impediments are various energies. Right? Why is Prabhupada talking about impediments here? What does it have to do with the verse? All those coverings. Remember what some of them are? False ego, five material elements, right? 10 senses. Easily making his way through these impediments. Doesn't it sound like fun? Easily making his way through these impediments, a devotee comes directly in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After all, the material impediments described in these verses are but various energies of the Lord. When a devotee is eager, we have the word eager again, to see the Supreme Personality of God, he prays to the Lord, and we can say this one together too, I nanda tanu jakin karam patitam mam vishame babam pujo kripaya tavapada pankachas tita dubi sadvishami vachinitaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I fall into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Being pleased with the devotee, the Lord turns all his material impediments into spiritual service. So how does the devotee get easily through all those material impediments? What does Krishna do with them? He turns them into spiritual service. Interesting. In this connection, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura quotes a verse from the Vishnu Purana, Ladini, Sandini, Samvit. Twai eka sarva samstitau. Lada tapa kari mizra. Twai no guna varjite. So, ladini is what? Pleasure. Sandini? Existence. Samvit? Knowledge. But then here in the third line it says, lada tapa kari. What is the meaning of tapa? Austerities. It can also just mean suffering. Many times tapa is translated as suffering. So lada tapa, the enjoyment becomes tapa. In the material world, the spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifested as tapakari, which means causing miseries. Everyone hankers for happiness, but although happiness originally comes from the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's that? Radharani. In the material world, because of material activities, the pleasure potency of the Lord becomes a source of miseries. Lada tapakari. Who's that? Maya or Durga. False happiness in the material world is a source of distress. But when one's endeavors for happiness are redirected toward the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this tapakari element of misery is vanquished. Let me read that again. False happiness in the material world is a source of distress. But when one's endeavors for happiness, should we stop endeavoring for happiness? No. When one's endeavors for happiness are redirected toward the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this tapakari element of misery is vanquished. An example given in this connection is that extracting fire from wood is certainly difficult. Now, how many people here have tried to start a fire from wood? Does it take some time, usually? Who here has ever failed at starting a fire from wood? Okay. It's definitely difficult. But when the fire comes out, it burns the wood to ashes. So at first, the fire is the impediment. The wood is the impediment. The wood is blocking the fire. And it's really hard to get that fire started. But once you get the fire started, the fire destroys the very impediment. The impediment becomes the source of the fire. The very thing that covered the fire becomes the source of the fire, like we were reading that the Lord turns all his material impediments into spiritual service. In other words, experiencing the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely difficult for those devoid of devotional service, but everything becomes easier for a devotee, and thus he can very easily meet the Supreme Lord. Here the prayers say that the form of the Lord is beyond the jurisdiction of material form and is therefore inconceivable, which is anirupta. A devotee prays, however, "My dear Lord, be pleased with me, prasiddhata, so that I may very easily see your transcendental form and potency." None devotees try to understand the Supreme Brahman by discussions of an 1880. Nisheda nirvana sukhan sukhanu bhutihi. A devotee, however, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, avoids such laborious speculations and realizes the existence of the Lord very easily. I'm not going to repeat the verse. And I'm only going to give a 5-minute class. Don't worry, those of you who are hungry. This I'm going to try to make it 5 minutes. Okay, what are some of the verses from the purport? Yes? 728, good. Somebody else remember a verse from the purport? The Shikshastakam, which one? Ainanda, yes, okay. Another verse that was in the purport? Yes? Seven, three, really close. Really close. Okay, and another one? 1855, and another one? 914. And does anyone remember anything from the Vishnu Purana verse? Ladini Sandini Sangit. Anybody remember anything from the Bhagavatam verse, 285? What was that about? And the sound enters the heart. Well, what? Oh, my, thank you for reminding me. I almost was going to forget one of my assessment criteria. And what's one of my favorite sentences that's in this purport? Can anybody guess? Yes. Wow. I got to think of some kind of present to give you. Yes. It says, the Lord turns all his material impediments into spiritual service. I really like that sentence. The Lord turns all of his material impediments into spiritual service. So there was once a little child who was in a very loving family. Wonderful family. Father and mother, very loving. Brothers and sisters, lots of toys, really good food, beautiful home. And this little child, this is a true story. This little child, one time when the parents were busy in the other room, got a little thing to step on, maybe some box that was lying around, and stepped on it and climbed up and figured out how to open a child lock on a cabinet. And opened the lock and opened up the cabinet and found a container of oats. And took the oats and decided, this child was 3 years old, and took the oats and decided that they looked like a lot of fun. And put the oats all over the couch. Spread them all over the couch. And then got her 2-year-old brother to get some hairspray. You know what hairspray is? It's this thing. Women nowadays, men do it too, so their hair can stand up like Yamadutas. But you know, the stuff you put in your hair so that it stays where you put it, even straight up in the air. So it's really very sticky. Right, so she induced her little brother to get some hairspray out of the bathroom, and then they sprayed all of the oats on top of the couch. So one of the older children comes and says,
Daddy, come see what my little sister did.
So what does Daddy do? Daddy takes a little sister and puts her in another room. And puts up, do you know what a child gate is? It's a thing that goes over a doorway, you know, about so high so the kids can't get out. So he puts up the child gate, puts the 3-year-old and the 2-year-old on the other side of the gate, and starts cleaning everything up. So now the 3-year-old and 2-year-old, they're still in the house, aren't they? They're still in one of the rooms of the house. But they're no longer able to participate in the activities of the house. They're no longer able to participate with the rest of the family because they use some of the energies and some of the paraphernalia of the family for their own pleasure in a way that was destructive. Therefore, they have to be separated. And they're still in the house, and they're still part of the family. And while the father is cleaning up the couch, he still feels love for his little children. It's not that he doesn't love his little children anymore. But for the children to come back into the home, what do they have to do? They have to behave. Yes, and at least the 3-year-old is expected to say she's sorry and she won't do it again. Although she's learned that mantra very well and says it regularly without any meaning to it. I won't do that anymore. So yes, one has to feel some repentance. That, oh, I've caused so much trouble for my daddy. You know, my poor daddy, he was going to do something pleasurable. He was going to go out and, you know, take a walk in the sunshine. He was going to have some enjoyment. And instead, he's cleaning up oats and hairspray from the couch. I caused him some pain. And therefore, I have to stay in another part of the house. So the child has to want again to be part of the family. The child has to want the oats to be used to produce porridge, not a sticky mess on the couch. And then again, they can enter into the family. And then they can see the room that they're in as part of the family house, which it always was. When they're put behind the gate, they see that room like a prison. But it's interesting because that room where they're put is also full of toys. And it's also part of the house. But they're not seeing it like that. And in fact, they're not even able to enjoy playing with the toys because they're feeling separated from the rest of the family. And as long as they're behind that gate, they're not actually able to get any pleasure from those toys. Now, sometimes they may try to get back into the family by climbing over the gate. But that's extremely difficult. The gate was designed to make it very difficult for children to climb over the gate. What they need is to please the father, and for the father then to open the gate, which he'll do when he has some assurance that they're not going to put oatmeal and hairspray all over the couch again, that they're going to come in as a regular member of the family. So we search, Prabhupada says here, we search for material happiness as the cause of our distress. I'm trying to use the energies of the Lord for my own purposes. I'm trying to exploit the energies of the Lord. I'm trying to get some kind of pleasure, which of course isn't even very pleasurable. I mean, how much pleasure can you get out of oatmeal and hairspray on the couch? You know, so the kind of pleasure we're trying to get out of the material nature really isn't very pleasurable. And when we do that, we get covered by Krishna's energies, just exactly like the child gets put into a room of the house. They get restricted by them. But after all, they're just the energies of the Lord. And those coverings act as impediments to being part of our family, just like the gate and the walls of the room act like impediments for the child to become a part of the family. And in order to get rid of this forced tapa, right, normally the mother and father are sources of pleasure for the child. Generally, the mother is a source of pleasure for the children. The mother is feeding the children, she's clothing them, she's bathing them, she's playing with them, she's teaching them. Children, in fact, see their mother as a shelter, isn't it? If there's ever any problem, the child runs to the mother. But after putting oatmeal and hairspray on the couch, your mother's not much of a shelter anymore. In fact, your mother is feeling a little angry. She's now punishing you. Your very mother and father, which were the source of pleasure to you, are now the source of pain. And sometimes when the child is put behind the gate, especially very young children, they'll even say, "I hate you, Mommy. I want to run away from home. I don't want to have to listen to you anymore." Right? So when instead of being under Diving Prakriti, instead of being under Radharani, we become under Durga, we often feel very angry. I hate this material and I hate all these impediments. I can't do what I want. Or to speak of realizing Krishna. So this lada becomes tapakari, which should be a source of pleasure for us, becomes a source of forced austerity. Okay, stay there, covered by the material elements. So in order to get out, you have to do some voluntary tapa called dhritavrita. You can't just say, "I'm sorry." What to speak of, "Let me out, let me out." Or trying to climb over the gate, which is like mystic yoga. No, you have to do some voluntary penance. Just like the child can say, "Daddy, I'll help you clean up the mess." Right? Even though, of course, the child's not very competent to clean up the mess. But that's going to induce the father to let the child out. "I'll take some trouble. I'll clean up the mess." And the little three-year-old child gets a little broom and dustpan and starts trying to sweep up the oats. So how do the father and mother feel when the child's doing that? Not just pacified, not just pacified. Not just grateful.
Shocked.
Huh?
Shocked.
Shocked, yeah, definitely shocked. Therefore, manushinam sahasresu kashchit yadati siddhaye. Because only out of many thousands is one volunteer to do some tapa. What else do the parents feel when the child says, "I'll help you clean up the mess, Daddy"? Comes and gets the broom and dustpan and starts sweeping it up. Very pleased. Not just pleased. The parents' hearts just melt with affection. Just completely melt with affection. Even though, you know, maybe they have to take all the cushion covers to the dry cleaner and it's going to cost $80 to clean up the couch. Still, when the child's cleaning up and then they carry their little dustpan to the trash bin and try to dump it in, and of course when they do that, most of the oats go right back onto the floor because they're not very expert. But still, the father and mother's hearts melt. Prasidatam. And they say, "Yes, come back to the family. Yes, you can come back to the family." And then the gate, the room, all become again just part of the home. The child can go in that same room where they were put behind the gate, and they just feel like they're in the home. And there they're helping their parents, and they're pleasing their parents. The impediments have turned into spiritual service. And then the child is again appreciating. As Prabhupada says here, when one comes to love, one appreciates. Then they're appreciating how nice my mommy and daddy are, that they're taking care of me. And hopefully they get to the point that due to appreciation, they only use the oats for porridge instead of for playing on the couch. So that's all it is. This is all Krishna's energy. It's part of Krishna's home. We are experiencing a covering simply due to our rebellion. And therefore, we have to engage in dhritavrita. We have to engage in some tapa. And for a conditioned soul, the activities of devotional service do appear to be tapasya. Like for the naughty child, the room appears to be a prison. Although it's not, it's just part of it. So following the four regulated principles appear to be great tapasya for people in Kali Yuga. I'd say especially in the West, but it's becoming increasingly true in India as well. You know, chanting 16 rounds, getting up early in the morning, only eating food offered to Krishna, etc., etc. These are tapasyas. Shaving your head, you know, wearing clothes that look a little funny and awful, and so forth. You know, not going out to the cinemas. These are great dhritavrita. Or, of course, in these purports, Prabhupada talks about things like following the house. But we want to come to the point where we can again relish the association of the Lord. We can relish his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. And when we do that, that destroys the material aspect of our impediments, just like the fire with great difficulty, you know, you're rubbing the wood to get the fire. With great difficulty, it burns up the very wood. So let us not become discouraged. One who has for many lifetimes been in disobedience to the Lord may have to work a little bit to get the fire to come out of the wood. May have to work a little bit to convince Krishna and Radharani that we're serious about becoming part of the family again. Because an ordinary parent may be foolish, and the child says, "I'm sorry, Daddy, I never do that again." An ordinary father may agree, and then, of course, the child does it again. But Krishna, being in the heart, he's going to give us release and show himself once he sees that we actually want to be part of the family again, that we want to have a relationship of love and service. So therefore, we are begging for his melting heart. We are begging for his mercy. And we get that not just by begging, please be nice to me, please be nice to me, but by demonstrating through our taking up the process of hearing and chanting and Dhritavrata, that we are serious about rectifying our mentality. So that was 9 minutes. So sorry, it was a long, wonderful kirtan, and it was a long, wonderful verse, and it was a long, wonderful book. So fortunately, then I don't get to talk very long. So you get the real nectar of Prabhupada's verse and purport. We could take 3 minutes for questions. Yes, please.
I think this purport is in Queen 20, praised by Queen 20, where Prabhupada talks about how in the beginning Maya tests one very severely, and Prabhupada continues that Maya doesn't allow anyone the freedom to disturb the Lord. So in that very clear analogy I gave about the child, you know, does something wrong and he's put in a room where he's not allowed to disturb the rest of the house, then say if it's a clever child but still a naughty child, he'll come out, clean up the oats, with a mood that now I'm free and I'll be able to create another disturbance again.
Yeah, the mystic yogis do that too. Right. And the impersonalists, you know, they weasel their way out. But we can do that to some extent. You know, as one advances in Krishna consciousness, Krishna does see how much you mean what you're saying and doing. And he gives us little bits of freedom. We have times of great spiritual bliss. The word here is sukhanubhuti. We have times when we feel relatively free from the influence of the modes of material nature. We feel some happiness, some ecstasy that we cannot explain materially. And we get great knowledge and we get great insight. That's just like, you know, opening the gate a little bit and saying, come on out. And then Krishna sees what you do with that. How do you think about that? How do you deal with it? Another example is in a prison. So a prisoner has their sentence, but except for the most heinous crimes, all prisoners get up for parole. So you may be in prison. I was reading about this one man who was put in prison like 5 life sentences. You know, never get out. And eventually he was able to get out on parole. So if you convince the authorities in the prison by your behavior in the prison that you're likely not to commit any more crimes, you're likely to be an upstanding citizen, the first thing they do is they give you some freedom in the prison. You see how you deal with that. And then they put you out on parole. So parole, you're not free. You know, you've got to check in with your parole officer. And often, you know, you can't leave a particular geographical area. There are certain restrictions. And if you break your parole, you're right back in prison. You know, you may get another chance at parole 5 years down the road, or, you know, whatever it is, 10 years down the road. So Krishna gives us all an opportunity. As we take up this process, Krishna keeps giving us opportunities over and over and over again, where he removes maya and says, you know, okay, how are you going to deal with this? and he watches. How do we deal with it? He gives us responsibility in his service. And we've seen in our Hare Krishna movement, people for whom Krishna gives some realization and responsibility, he uses it nicely, and Krishna keeps giving them more responsibility and more realization and more freedom. And we also see people who misuse it, and Krishna says, okay, can you go back behind the gate for a while and be covered by the modes of material nature for a while, and we'll talk about it a little later. You know, and then again, there's another opportunity, another opportunity. Is that okay?
The question extends a little bit more. I think you kind of answered it just then, but let's say in the future, or in your position, in the position of your God, brothers and goddesses, as we have to manage this, you know, huge movement. And as for Maya, she can see who's planning to disturb the law, but maybe for persons who don't have the power of material energy, you've got to give everyone a chance of devotional service at the same time. You know, how do you, sometimes you give people a chance kind of knowing that they may just like create havoc in the future or something?
Yeah, but you still give people a chance. You know, if someone says, I'm going to help clean up the oats, you give them a chance. And eventually, most children grow up and learn how to behave. You know, and with most children, the training is you give them a chance, and sometimes they use it properly, and that's good, and sometimes they don't, you put them back behind the gate. Sometimes maybe you're putting them back behind the gate 10 times for the same offense. Also, it's quite interesting, Prabhupada talks about one of his godbrothers, that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati knew that his motive was not good, and he still gave him a position of authority. And he said this man was good materially at management. So Prabhupada said he used this particular person's material, managerial abilities in the service of the mutt. And he was given that position, but he wasn't given pure devotional service. So Krishna also does that in the management of the universe, like with Daksha. Daksha's not just pure devotional service. Daksha's going to use, just like he used in his last life, Daksha's going to use his position of authority and responsibility in Krishna's service to blaspheme devotees. That's what he's going to use it for. He's going to say, I'm a big Prajapati, I saw Lord Vishnu. You know, and he's going to criticize Narada, previously criticized Lord Shiva. But Krishna's giving him opulence. So Krishna even does it with the demons, what to speak of mixed devotees. If the demons do austerities and follow the rules, they get to have opulence also. They get what they want. So, you know, sometimes Krishna arranges that people, even in the Hare Krishna movement, please don't think the Hare Krishna movement is immune to these things. Even the whole universe is like that, to speak of our movement. So sometimes Krishna sees that someone is approaching him because they want name and fame and profit adoration and distinction and position and wealth, and he gives that to them, but he doesn't give them pure devotional service. Maybe he will at some point, when that's what they want. And do they cause somewhat havoc? Yeah. I sort of see that our organization exists on different levels. Something like the Shastra exists on different levels. Our worship of the deity and our worship of the name exists on different levels. We're all chanting Hare Krishna, but we're chanting Hare Krishna on different levels of realization. And in one sense, the Siskhan movement is part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila. And Prabhupada says, in Major Lila, talking about how all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates are Nitya Siddhas, and he says that anyone who also assists Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement now is also becomes Nitya Siddha. So there's people taking part in this movement who experience it. Their experience of being in this movement is that they're part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. I mean, I talked to one kid who was born in the movement who remembers their past life and remembers leaving their body absorbed in Krishna's lila. And I said, well, why didn't you take birth in Krishna's lila? And she said, I did. Why are you asking me that question? And she said, I'm in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila. What is the problem? So there are people who perceive it like that. And then all the way at the bottom, there's people who perceive ISKCON as some bureaucratic, managerial, you know, entity like IBM, where they're trying to get in a particular position. And I visited one temple once where this brahmachari, I'd never met him before in my life. And as I come to the temple, he comes up to me and he says, my name is so-and-so, and he starts telling me his CV. And I did this, and I was at this temple, and I had this position, and I was at this temple, and I had this position, and I was this temple, and I had this position. And he looks at me and he says, "And what department are you in?" I don't know what to say. I said, "Troublemaking department." Probably a pretty accurate description. So he laughed and went away. But there are people who, you know, they're functioning in the movement like that. And their idea of spiritual advancement is title. Kadambakanda Swami tells that story, how he was in Vrindavan, and he was the vice president. He was called in the president's office, and the president looks at him and says, "I know what you're thinking, because I know what I was thinking when I was in that chair. You're thinking you want to be in my chair." And he said, Kadambakanda Swami said, after that he gave up being vice president and left. He said, "I don't know why I would do this." So Krishna is Yetaman Prabhadante. As they surrender, he's responding. So Krishna sometimes gives people, you know, what they want. It's like a desire tree that's given different people what they want. And different people's experience of ISKCON is going to be very different depending on their consciousness, like different people's experience of the deity and the holy name and everything. And so sometimes Krishna will do that. And even let them so-called create havoc. That's what they want to do. But Krishna is so clever, he uses that also. He uses whatever havoc somebody causes as means of spiritual service and elevation for the havoc ease. Is that okay? It's, you know, that's something I've very gradually come from. See, and the people who are dealing with this kind of on that level, if that's not the level you're on, just, you know, fire your goal. And let them keep fighting. That's their sadhana. It's their, you know, Shastra wars. So instead of using the Shastra to see how I can become elevated, they use the Shastra to see, okay, where can I find the next weapon for my Shastra war? Yes? Very, very personal, and it's very individual. I don't think you can have some sort of pat formula. We can say that anybody who comes to Krishna in any capacity, yam krodha kama sahaja apanayadi viti vatsalya mahu guru vava seva bhava. Even if you come to Krishna as an enemy, sooner or later you're going to become purified. But it's a sooner or later. So, you know, how fast and how pleasant the journey is, that's very individual. But of course, a neophyte by definition has mixed desires. Of course. But are you wanting to get free of those? Are you wanting to advance? Are you wanting to become purified? That's the question. Of course, somebody who goes to the doctor is sick. You know. But do you want to become healthy? The different people have different extents of desires to become actually pure devotees. Yeah, Krishna's a very good teacher. He does what they call in modern schools differentiation. He used to call it individualization. You know, the kids in school, especially the ones, I think you do the same thing here we do in America. The kids who are at the lower end who are really struggling. In America, we have to give each of those what's called an IEP, individual education plan. I know you do some of that. Do you do it for all the kids or just for the lowest kids? Pretty much just, yeah. So Krishna does that for all of us. We're all at the bottom of the pile in terms of the jivas. You know, we're the learning disabled crew here. So we all have an individual education plan. And Krishna's really good at it. You know, he's really good at it. He knows exactly what each of us needs. And, you know, he has a projection for how long it's going to take, but that's also a lot dependent on how we reciprocate. And I had so many students come to me who said, I want to get through school faster because I'd let the kids go at their own pace. And I'd say, okay, fine. Here's the program. And 9 out of 10 times, after 2 weeks, they say, forget it. I'll just go at the normal pace. But 1 out of 10 times, they would do it. They'd say, yeah, I'm going to do it. So you can have a projection. Somebody comes to the school and you can say, well, at the present, you know, you give them a diagnostic test. You can say, at the normal rate of progress, you're going to take such and such amount of time, and this is going to be the work. But if they apply themselves more or less diligently, then that's some adjustment. And Krishna also adjusts, just like those satnavs. You call them satnavs here? Or GPSs? What do you call them here? You call them GPSs here? Okay, in the UK they call them satnavs. In America, we call them GPSs. Do you all know what I'm talking about? Those little things in the car that have the little maps, right? And they tell you, turn right now, right? And what happens if you ignore them? What happens if you ignore them? Do they give up on you? Do they yell at you? I've heard they're going to start programming some of them that have that option if you want it. You idiots! I told you to turn right, and you're going straight ahead. What do they do when you ignore them? Do you know?
Some of them recalculate for you.
They pretty much, I think all of them do. They recalculate the route. I was in San Diego driving from my son's house to the temple. That was the first time in my life I used one of them without having looked at a map beforehand. So I had not a clue of where I was. I didn't even know what direction I was going in. It was very disorienting. I didn't like it at all. I was totally dependent on this little device. And it told me to turn, and I missed the turn, and I'm like, okay, now I gotta circle back and go back and retrace my steps. That's what I'm used to doing without those little thingies. And it just recalculated my route. And it had a new map. And I could just go on from where I was. I just had to make a different turn. It was so exciting. So that's also what Krishna does. You know, he says, please do this, please do this. So, you know, and you don't do it. So, okay, let's go on from here. Now, so he does that too. All right, well, you weren't supposed to do that. Guru told you not to do that. Sadhus told you not to do that. Scripture told you not to do it. You did it anyway. Okay, here we are. Now we got plan B and we go on from here. So you'll find, you know, if you look at this scripture, you'll find different statements. The main statement is no matter who you are, go to Krishna, and everybody who goes to Krishna will get there sooner or later, no matter what their motives are. That's a general statement, although there are some statements that some people were so offensive, you know, the Krishna says, I send them to the demoniac species forever. But that's real. I mean, there was one of Prabhupada's disciples who was a Sanskrit scholar and who got in touch with a group of people who were criticizing Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, who said that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was never properly initiated, he wasn't a bona fide guru. Instead, they usually follow his brother. And so he rejected Srila Prabhupada and he rejected Bhaktisiddhanta. And he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada and he said, you know, I'm going to find another guru who's actually going to give me Krishna Prema. And Prabhupada then said, and he asked for Prabhupada's blessings. And Prabhupada said, I bless him, he will never achieve Krishna Prema. Of course, a little later he said, he will achieve Krishna Prema after 10,000 births. He's still actively preaching Krishna consciousness. He can't be a professor. He has a website. The Prabhupada first said, I bless him never to attain Krishna. And then he said, after 10,000 births. Eventually. Okay. If any of you are like, you know, want to leave, it's okay. I'm sorry. Yes, Ruby.
And an example you gave in the class, the child helps the father. That makes a mess and doesn't do it properly, can't do it properly. So, does that mean that for us to go back to Godhead, we are more or less like creeper
is always mercy. Therefore, prasidatam. Without mercy, it's not possible. If you think that by your sadhana bhakti you can become pure devotee, then you're thinking that it's mechanical. Then we're thinking that Krishna is some sort of a machine, that if I just type in the right code, if I just press the right button, you know, my candy bar will pop out. I just put in the right money and press the right button, and then I get the candy bar that I want. And if I don't get the candy bar, I get the wrong candy bar, then I hit the machine. So Krishna doesn't want to be dealt with that way. It's a very personal relationship. Prabhupada says in the first canto, or there's a seven somewhere in the chapter of Vishnu. He says it's not by the mechanical process of hearing and chanting, but only by the mercy of the Lord. But how are you going to invoke the mercy of the Lord? How will you invoke the mercy of the Lord? How do the children melt the heart of the parents? They make an effort. Is our effort ever going to be at the mark, my dear friends? If you think that your effort is ever going to be up to the mark, you're really going to be disappointed. We're never going to deserve to go back to Godhead. Our efforts at service are not any different from a three-year-old trying to sweep up some oats on the floor. Really. You know, what service can we offer? How well do we offer it? Even people who are, you know, expert at all the mantras and this and that, come on. How are you ever going to be expert? And we're all going to cause some havoc, sorry. You know, even when we sweep up the oats and try to put them in the trash bin, some are going to go right back on the floor, you know. We're going to make so many mistakes. We're going to say something that somebody gets upset about and hurt somebody's feelings, and we're going to misspend money sometimes, and, you know, it's going to happen. Don't think that Krishna's pleasure is dependent upon you never making mistakes like that. Forget it. You'll never succeed. It's not, you know, the qualifications Krishna's looking for is a change of heart. And he feels very affectionate towards us even when we're behind the gates, being young. Even then he feels affection. The father and mother don't stop feeling affection. No, I'm not going to be good. Or, okay, I'm sorry. You let them out and they run right back to the oatmeal and put it back again. Okay, back behind the gate. Your parents still feel affection. But it's a little different. There, you kind of, you withhold a little bit. But when they come and really demonstrate that they want to again be part of the family, and that, you know, they're willing. When we demonstrate, I'm willing to do some voluntary tapa. See, we're suffering this lot of tapakari. We're suffering all these miseries that should be how we're relating to Radharani, because we're relating to Durga, and she's on this tiger, and she's got this trident, you know, piercing us. And mostly we're just going, stop! What we should be going is, okay, I did something wrong. What can I voluntarily do? What voluntary austerity can I do to rectify my consciousness? And then you don't have to pierce me anymore. I don't have to get, says Dhruva Maharaj got rid of his miseries by voluntary austerities. You can get rid of forced austerities by voluntary austerities. You show some. But no, it's not by your sadhana. But without sadhana, how are you going to get kripa? Okay? Sometimes kripa is given with no sadhana, but that's rare. That's very rare. That's sometimes like a teacher. A teacher sometimes has a kid in the class that's so hopeless. They're just completely hopeless. Completely. And sometimes you show mercy to those kids. There's so many books and movies about things like that. You know, the hopeless kid and the dedicated teacher that reforms them and the coach. So sometimes if someone is totally hopeless, it doesn't do anything good. And sometimes Krishna, the devotees, may, okay, you know, let's take care of this one. But that's unusual. Generally, mercy is is given to somebody who shows some. You know, someone who goes to the teacher and says, hey, you've been putting lots of red marks on my paper. I'm making the same mistakes over and over again. Please help me to better myself. I'm willing to stay after school. I'm willing to do extra work. I'm willing to do tapasya. And then the teacher will say, okay, and they show mercy, usually some sort of reciprocation. But that's this topic of the relationship between sadhana and mercy is a very deep, deep, deep topic. How much do we do? How much does sadhana do? And one of my, I'll end with this, one of my favorite stories from Jesus is the story of the prodigal son. You all know that story? It was very similar to the story I was telling about the little kid who put oatmeal and hairspray on the couch. So the boy says to his father, I want my inheritance now. And the father says, okay, here you go, here's your inheritance. And he goes to a foreign country and he wastes all of the inheritance money and it says riotous living. So I don't know what kind of riotous living there was, you know, 2,000 years ago, but I imagine it was something like the riotous living today. You know, probably gambling and illicit sex and intoxication and so forth. And he spent all of his father's money. And then there was a famine in the land and there was no food and all of his friends deserted him because he had no money and he had to work as a pig herder in a field. And he noticed that the pigs were eating better than he was. And he thought, the servants back in my father's house are living better than I am now. So let me go home and I won't ask my father to be a son again. I've destroyed that. He realized it was his fault. He took responsibility. It was his fault. And he didn't ask to be the son again. He asked to be the servant. And so he left and started walking back to his father's house. And Jesus said, when he was still a long distance away, the father saw him, and the father left his house and came out to meet him and brought him back. And he said, Father, I've sinned against you. I'll just be your servant. He said, no, I'll reinstate you as my son. So while he was still a long distance away. Or a similar explanation is given by the demigods when Krishna is in the womb of Devaki, where they say the material existence seems like a great ocean, and on the shore of the ocean is a boat, which is the lotus feet of the Lord. And he says, do you have to get in the boat and cross the ocean? No. You don't. What do you have to do? Do you remember?
Approach.
You have to approach the boat. You don't have to get in the boat. You approach. That's why the boat always stays on that shore. The demigods say, it's funny, the boat never, it's never on the other shore. Even though the sadhus are crossing the ocean in the boat stays on the shore. Why? Because as soon as they approach the boat, what happens to the ocean? It shrinks. It becomes just this big. So what do? You have to approach the boat. You have to approach the boat. You have to start walking home. And as soon as you approach the boat, then the material miseries become nothing. Insignificant. As soon as you approach in your home, your father will come out and welcome you. You don't have to get all the way to the door and knock on the door. But you've got to have the right mentality and start going in that direction. Is that alright? Okay, we definitely should end here. And you'll all curse me for causing headache in your day schedule. So thank you very much. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.